Welcome to Two Bald Men Fighting Over a Comb, a podcast in which two previously proliferous pals chew the fat for your enjoyment, but more importantly, for the greater good. So, Rob, what have you got to say for yourself?
Wood. I was thinking about wood.
Wood.
Well, more specifically, the sycamore tree in the Hadrian's Wall that got chopped down. Is it Hadrian's Wall?
Yeah, Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah. Who is Hadrian? Is it the person who built it? Took him fucking ages. No, just about like the media coverage from it and people standing near the tree and weeping. It reminded me actually about the Prince of Thieves Robin Hood film with Kevin Costner and Morgan Freeman. I thought, oh, I hadn't seen that in a while. That is the only good thing I think that came out of it. And
Morgan Freeman as a Moor. He doesn't.
I think.
He didn't look very Arabic, did he?
No, he didn't. But I think for the 90s, it was one of those things of like, we don't want to complicate it, treating the audience like idiots. And yeah, Kevin Costner with his, I think he had an American accent for somebody who is...
Great song as well, Bryan Adams.
Yeah, well, it was all right. And then you just heard it every week, didn't you? Every time you put the radio on. It's like... So yeah, almost as annoying as the coverage about the tree and people going weeping near the tree, individuals going there and, I've planted another tree. And it's like, I don't know why, but it just kind of, you know, got to me.
The guy planted it and then they
removed it. Because they said, basically, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're gonna ruin it and stuff. Or, you know, or something will grow from it and, you know, and... all that. Yes, I mean, it's picturesque. Yes, it's a tree. You know, should we be chopping trees down? You know, that is one. You think about what happens in the Amazon. Yeah, deforestation, the lungs of the earth. You know, why aren't people more outraged by that? That's going on and, you know, putting their energies to that as opposed to one tree, which just looks really nice. But I don't know.
Well, you can't take away folks' opportunities, can you?
Well, if they did selfies, I know that it'd annoy the shit out of you.
It would, yeah. Say, I might have to do something about it.
There's a selfie booth that we know that you could go
have
into.
To chop the tree down, for example.
And make a booth out of the wood. So, you know, yeah. They're still kind of in, they're actually getting inside of the tree.
So you're annoyed at people in general, or just some people?
I think it's just some people who are all... for me, it just felt a little bit far-fetched. In terms of, you know, the media coverage and, you know, everything. I know it's an old tree, you know, I get that.
Well, it's not that old, it's only a couple of hundred years old. In the grand scheme of things, that's not too...
Well, you think, because England was basically swamped with trees, that's why we had such a fantastic armada, because of all the oats.
Carpeted with trees? Is it be carpeted? Swamped with trees? I don't know, what's the right term for that?
I'm sure you'll tell me.
I'm
sure you've told me.
That's supposed to be teamwork, Rob. You know, we're supposed to get to the right answer together.
All right, yeah. Let's just go with carpeted then. Is it? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, a carpet
forested,
of trees.
Forested with trees.
There's much forestation. But yeah, I think it was just a reaction really of it all, and just some of the individuals who were like, oh, you know, they you could tell that the guy who planted this tree, I don't think he was necessarily doing it for the fact that a tree had been chopped down. I think it was more to do with
like cover a hole in it. It's like, oh, that's a shithole, and he wasn't a very good gardener, so instead of putting like a hedge there, he put a tree there, and he didn't realise that it wouldn't really work in 200 years' time.
Or it could just be that bird shit.
An angry gardener would be like, no, that needs to be a hedge and chop it down.
Yeah, I've got to build... Look, I'm trying to build a wall here. And why build a wall so close to a tree anyway? Do they not know that it could destabilise its foundations, you know, if you're, you know, the tree growth, the roots? And...
Well, the thing about Hadrian's Wall anyway is it's pretty shit. I mean, you know, if you look at how tall it is, it's not going to really keep anyone in or out. Like, you want a wall to, you know...
You need to talk to someone like Donald Trump or something.
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice. We have no choice.
Yeah, let's not go there. I mean, it's you can almost look at the cutting that tree down as horticultural terrorism, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, it's the thing, they tried to arrest some people, and just you know, look for the guy here who had a chainsaw.
I mean, if Al-Qaeda really wanted to
put it to... Who's this guy? Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda, yeah, he's a mate of mine.
That was your name.
Yeah, if they really wanted to put it to the man in, like, Western societies, all they need to do is a bit of horticultural terrorism, because it upsets people much more than car bombs in Iraqi streets, you know. It's like, say, for example, they were to get some Japanese knotwood seeds or
not
shoots.
Weed,
yeah.
Not wood.
Japanese knotwood weeds. Weeds? What? Did I say knotwood?
You said knotwood. Okay. That's because you got that tree on your mind. Did it affect you?
It affected me deeply. But yeah, if they were to get some Japanese knotweed shoots or seeds or whatever it grows from and go around all the politicians and evil imperialist Western people and put it in their gardens, then it's going to grow, it's going to wipe out their property value, and that's so much more of a win than like putting a bomb on a bus and blowing up a few proles in the streets of London, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting because I think it was a king or something who first brought it over, because he was like, oh, that looks nice, and then decided to bring it over. And yeah. Oh my God.
I had an estate last week, but now it's something out of a fairy tale, and my wife is inside. This is probably where the fairy tale came from.
Like Jack and the Beanstalk.
No. The one where, was it Prince Charming? Is it Cinderella? No. What's the one where there's a princess and he's got to go through all the brambles to get to her on a hill? And she's asleep. She's asleep. He's got to kiss her. Prince. I don't know. I didn't pay attention in Sunday school, but.
Oh, I never went to Sunday school because it was like, hang on, like, I go Monday to Friday. You can't expect me to go on a Sunday as well.
Well, in the olden days, they didn't have weekends of 2 days. They did 6 day working weeks and they had 1 day off for rest.
I know they're talking about in some councils, they're saying 4 day working week. And it's like, well, say something, say they all have Friday off. And it's like, oh, damn, there's something wrong with the right. I need to report something. Oh. Mm. No one's in. But I guess they'd stagger it, wouldn't they? It's not like they'd shut off.
It would be AI bots would do the work, wouldn't they, on the other days?
Yeah, I had an AI bot. I ordered something from Amazon. Mm. It was like a USB hub extender, and I ended up getting a Google Pixel Chrome phone case.
Oh, that's good. Was it delivered by a drone?
No, it wasn't delivered by a drone. He looked kind of... dead behind the eyes. Yeah. And I was like, my son was so excited, opened it up, and I was like, oh, this just must be the casing for the thing inside. And it was like, no. So I rang them up and they said, oh, it's not been marked as delivered yet, so we can't do anything about it.
So you've got someone else's delivery, basically.
Yeah, well, I still have my name on the front, but that's really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm quite excited by that story.
Stay tuned, listeners. More of that to come.
Wow. So what's been titillating your brain buds other than the sycamore tree?
Well, I was getting quite excited about the new Beatles song. Well, I say I was getting excited, but then it was like, I remember in the mid-90s when they did Free as a Bird and Real Love, and there's that kind of like build-up. I remember... I think it was like Radio 1 played it as Chris Evans going down and they were going to play at a certain time, and I had my tape all set up ready to record it.
Old school.
Yeah, and I recorded it and listened to it. But it was like, I don't know, it just sounded too, I don't know, too influenced by like George Harrison and Jeff Lynne. And for me, it didn't sound like a Beatles song.
It's a good song though, Free as a Bird, I like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
I remember having a nice video as well, sort of,
it kind of
animated.
Kind of animated. They were using like video and bits, and it tied in with the anthology. I actually had a video file of the anthology, and watching it, you can really tell like it's dated in terms of the technology used. I mean, fast forward to, well, get back of when it was done last year or whatever. But no, I was thinking about Real Love, and I thought, yeah, that's the second one they released. And obviously the third one they didn't bother doing anything with. And I was like, well, should I be excited about it? Should I not be excited about it? I was more excited about the Red and Blue album, which was being released, because they used...
The question is, did you like the song?
I liked it. Well, first time I listened to it, it was very much fun. I didn't hate it. But then I thought to myself, this just sounds really overproduced for a Beatles song.
Yeah, I see that. I really like it. I think it's a good piece of music. Mm. Whether it's good enough to be, if it didn't have the cultural excitement around it, with it being the first Beatles song in forever, I doubt anyone would pay any attention to it. It would just be. It sounds to me like a good album track rather than it being a single. It's the video interested me. I sort of wavered between sort of feeling a little bit nostalgic, and I think the video made you think a lot about aging and mortality, because you see the different ages of the Beatles. But yeah, I sort of, it's a bit of a roller coaster, because there's moments of nostalgia, and then there's moments where I remembered what I don't like about the Beatles, which is Paul McCartney. He just gets on my wick. So it's like, the Beatles without Paul McCartney wouldn't have worked, but it would have been more a band I could have liked, I think.
Well, that's the thing, because I always thought, growing up, I remember my A-level English teacher said, oh, Paul McCartney's a twat. But then watching the Get Back documentary on Disney Plus a couple of years ago, it completely changed my view of McCartney.
Well, how so?
I don't know, it just completely changed my view of him, and I went out and brought a Hofner bass, and I can still play four songs on it.
I think he's an incredibly talented guy, but I think there's an element of smugness with him that a lot of people find grating, including myself.
There's a lot of people on the internet, well, a few, and if you can, listeners, you can have a view of those on YouTube, where they don't believe that Paul McCartney is the Paul McCartney they say he is, and they say there's some really sketchy kind of research and videos, and it's like, well, you could look at it that way if you were mad.
Maybe that's why he's smug, because he knows that he's not the real Paul McCartney.
Maybe.
I was quite interested that it went to number one, and that's like another Beatles record, that the longest period between last number one and next one.
I think the only other person would be Cliff Richard, wouldn't it? He'd be able to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, God.
So is it just the Beatles or any other bands doing similar?
Well, not a new song, but that reissued, reimagined Dark Side of the Moon by Roger Waters. And I listened to it.
Wash your mouth out with soap, can't say Roger Waters.
Well, this is the thing. I listened to it once, and I've not really wanted to revisit it. It was almost kind of like that intrigue, gone back, and then I read a few bits about it, and I read somewhere that it was a really good kind of accurate description of it, but they said it's like the audiobook version of Dark Side of the Moon, and it's like, yeah, bit self-indulgent, I thought, the whole project.
Entirely self-indulgent.
You've listened to it all the way through?
I got to, I think, just after what would be the half time. I can't listen to more of this. He's mangled every song so far. What it made me think of, as you know, because I sent you a WhatsApp with it, but you know those that lady who repainted the masterpiece in the Italian.
Oh yeah,
chapel.
She washed it. She wiped it clean, and it was like, oh shit! I'll just touch it up using my grandchild's equipment.
Obviously, he's a master because he made it with other people in the first place. But I think a lot of the time with creative projects, you need the input of other people to stop you making something the way you want to, because you can't do it on your own, and even though you think you can. And I think this is a classic example. This is what it would have sounded like first time around if he'd made it on his own.
Well, it strikes me is that people can't say no to him anyway. Like, his entourage would be too scared of him. He just does look like a bit of a miserable baller.
There is no dark side in the moon, really. Matter of fact, it's all dark.
What's been tickling your brain teeth?
I've been amused of late by esoteric sports, niche sports. I was remembering back to the 90s, and I don't know if you remember There was a sport called kabaddi that they broadcast on Channel 4, I think.
I think it would have been Channel 4. Yeah.
And it was on every night of the week. It was great. I think it's an Indian sport. It's an Indian or Pakistani sport. And it's just like a two-ended thing where people... It's like almost like British Bulldog meets tag. And the guys are in teams sort of trying to reach out of like gaps and like tag each other and things. And they go, kabaddi, 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 while they're doing it. And it was really entertaining. I loved it when I was a kid.
If you had to set that fast, repetitive, I'd be like, 2 minutes in, I'd be like, I'm going to have to sit this one out.
Yeah, it's like proper out of breath. Yeah. Yeah, if you get a chance, Google kabaddi. It looks like an awesome sport. And I thought, well, Red Bull seemed to be like buying up all the rights to anything that's a bit wacky. They've got like the planes, and they've got the what they call go-karts.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, I love watching that. They normally broadcast it on Christmas.
Thoroughly entertaining. Christmas. Yeah, yeah. And I thought, you know, maybe we can do a more sort of British version of it, where we do like Gloucester cheese rolling. Have you ever seen that?
I've seen it on some of the news segments, or you read about
someone like breaking their neck.
Yeah, right. Paralysed, quadriplegic, and it's like...
I've been to that hill, and you would not run down it. No. You'd not run down it when it's like middle of summer and try.
Yeah,
I think it's autumn or winter, and running. And the prize isn't like £10,000; it's like the ball of cheese.
This is the thing.
Bottom without killing yourself.
You imagine you've just gone to that hill. No one else around. You've gone. There's no way I'd run down it. You get a whiff of that cheese. This could be yours. And then they roll it down. You. Eyes rolling in the back of your head, you know, from the scent, and that's it. Tunnel vision. I want that cheese.
You've got like images of the fondue you're having later on in your
fondue for a couple of months, I would imagine. Yeah. You'd need a big cauldron, wouldn't you?
I wonder what cheese is actually. I know it's a big round roll of it, but what is it? Is it Gloucester something spot? What's the cheese from Gloucester called?
I don't know, but I imagine it to be quite dirty. Imagine it like rolling through dull pulp. Yeah,
you know what cheese is like, though? They put all sorts of things on the outside of cheese, like urine and things, to make them do weird things.
Oh, well, it used to be stomach juices of an animal to help set it or something.
All sorts of weird, like, medieval shit.
My wife bought some cheese the other day, and this isn't a joke, this is true. My wife, oh, yeah, bloody hell.
Fucking Manning.
And... She brought us, I don't know, it was like a brie, but it wasn't a brie. And it was just kept in the fridge. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't know it was in there. I opened up the fridge and it really smelt like my gran, God rest her soul, had farted in the fridge and closed it.
Why your gran? Because I remember when I was little.
No, I just remember she farted. She picked up my cousin and swung in between the legs and she farted. And I remember it just smelling quite...
I bet she made out at the time like it was an accident.
No, one could, because my cousin turned around and said that was a blockbuster, and everyone laughed, and I think that took the edge off. But that smell of the cheese, as much as I don't like
it, brought back memories. Like, I know, deeply suppressed memories.
I know. It's like, I don't know if I'm coming or going. It's like, oh Nan, oh God, this. And so that cheese had to be eaten quite quick.
Have you heard of the wife carrying? I think it's wife carrying Olympics in, I think it's in I haven't done much Google research here, but it's somewhere Scandinavian. They do it every year.
I don't think they do it in America, you know what I mean? Because obviously the levels of obesity.
So. I'll tell you what they do have in America is that they have a husband calling contest.
What?
A husband calling contest. And it's different wives doing their best voices to get their husband's attention.
Oh, I thought it was in, like, they just started calling him loads of... Like, a man sits there, it's like being roasted, that she just comes up with really shitty names for him.
Yeah, no, it's literally screaming their husband's name at the top of their voice, and there's an award for that in America. But anyway, going back to the Scandinavians.
Yes.
Wife carrying Olympics. I think they sort of have, like, races where the man's got to carry his wife through the snow on a course and see who wins. I think it's beautiful. I think, you know, it's like, why do... We had an episode, a few episodes back, where you're talking about opening up the Olympics to normal people. And, you know, having sports that there's no real way of excelling at it. You just got to go there and do it. I think that's incredible. And cheese rolling, I mean, how do you train for cheese rolling? It's just, you know, I'm going to get injured. You know, how do you train to not get injured, like running down like an almost vertical hill?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because you watch some people and they're... Because because it's so steep, gets over in terms of the hill, not the the wives that they're carrying. But it's so steep, there's that thing of like, you've got to be so careful not to let your top half kind of overtake the bottom half.
And you're rolling like the cheese, aren't you?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think there's definitely a business opportunity in these sports, because, I mean, if we were to be like Red Bull, I mean, maybe we need to make a soft drink first, maybe do a...
Like a prime.
Yeah, we could be like KSI and Logan Paul and make our own drink that all the kids are going to queue up outside Lidl for. And
I always think, Logan Paul, it's almost like the how you'd read his name on a class register, not like his real name.
That's just Americans.
His real name's like Paul Logan.
Yeah. No, they do girls' names as first names, and they also do surnames as first names.
My wife was watching the Voice last night. I was listening to the audiobook version.
Don't you listen to a voice?
She was watching The Voice.
How do you watch a voice?
The TV show, The Voice. It's got Will.i.am, Tom Jones, and two other people I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were getting your senses mixed up.
No. What it was is that one of the contestants, their name was Chinchilla. Can we just stop it there? I need to have a poop. and then we're going to come back. It's a good way to end that on that Chinchilla. I'll see you later. Hang on. It's really knocking at the door.
Go and have your turtle selling poop.
Christ.
Robert, have you heard of the Somerset Gimp?
I thought you were going to inquire about how am I? I think I'm about a stone lighter.
Okay, let's start that again. Rob, how was your poo?
Yeah, it's all right. It floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee.
Anyway, Robert, have you heard of the Somerset Gimp?
The what?
The Somerset Gimp.
No, I haven't, no. What's that?
right, there's been a trial in my neck of the woods of late. A man, well, there was an urban legend, not an urban myth, an urban legend, because it is a real person doing a real thing. The Somerset Gimp. People had lots of sightings of a man in Somerset villages dressed as a gimp between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, approaching unsuspecting people and writhing around in mud and doing...
What, in front of them?
In front of them, yeah, doing strange gimpy things in front of... He never sort of touched anyone up or... like sexually assaulted anyone. He just did gimpy things in front
just
of people.
Just mentally assaulted them.
Pretty much, yeah, mentally assaulted them. I think they were looking for him for ages. I think in the trial there were 25 separate incidents that they put down that were reported, so he probably did many, many more, and people thought, ha, 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 look, it's a gimp. Oh, that's a bit weird.
It's like, hey, it's that guy from the Pulp Fiction film.
Yeah.
Bring out the gimp.
So yeah, so there has been an urban legend for a while of the Somerset Gimp, and he went to trial. They found him, and
Rolling around in mud.
Right, you're rolling around in mud.
You pick him up, you cuff him. I'm not cuffing him. He's filthy.
I've got a Sky News bulletin. It's great. If you look at the if you Google it, like the picture of him is just epic. He's got like eyes like with red crosses across them, and in like a proper full body.
In the court appearance, and they didn't turn up in court like that.
No, they didn't turn up in court dressed like the Somerset Gimp. The guy is called Joshua Hunt, and he was a self-employed gardener, so a bit more horticultural terrorism. A guy from Claverham in North Somerset, and he was the Somerset Gimp, and he's been banned from dressing in an all-black gimp suit in public at night. And crawling, wriggling, or writhing on the ground for 5 years. Only 5 years, mind.
That's a long time to crawl around on the floor, though, 5 years.
It's a long time, yeah. That'd be like an endurance act, wouldn't it?
But so
yeah,
he could wear a white gimp suit if he wanted, then, by the sounds of it.
Oh, that's... I like that. I like the way you've got around the legal loophole there. Or found the legal loophole. Yeah. So I love
you're
that.
Good, you're good for another 5 years, Tom. You're right. You can just have to bleach it. Can you
I'll do it in
leather?
Like a fluorescent yellow gimp suit, crawling, wriggling, or writhing on the ground for 5 years. Last week's hearing heard how a man in an all-black gimp suit had terrified two female motorists in May this year in Bleeden, in Western Supermare. I could have been drinking down the pub with this guy. I mean, to be fair, if you look at a photo of him, he does look like one of us, just maybe a bit more handsome. You know.
Well, it doesn't.
Have you got it up on Google? Go on, Google.
No, I haven't. No, I've not Googled it. No.
Google it.
Just send me the link.
Well, no, just Google it while I've got you on the phone. He's been banned from wearing wearing masks unless they're medically indicated. So he can't go to like a masquerade ball in case he like gets all sexy.
All right. Oh yeah, I see the. I mean, it must be one of them new iPhones that they took the photo in, because if it's at night time and he's wearing black, you know, it's done well to...
Yeah, it's quite a good photo. I mean, I might use that as my my image on WhatsApp.
Do you know what? Oh, that's weird. That the dude, Hunt, I mean, that's the thing. So, was it he fined £100, paid £200 compensation to each of his victims, and £620 prosecution costs? He actually looks like
one of us. No, he's just a bit more army.
Exactly, a little bit more army. But he looks like one of the dads who does the school pickup.
What? Where you live?
Well, yeah, of course. Not. I don't. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'll go to Somerset School. I hang around. You know, flipping it.
Is there a Norfolk Gimp?
I don't want to confirm nor deny that, because, you know, I don't want to incriminate myself, do I?
there's an opportunity here, Rob. You know, you could be a copycat gimper.
I don't think I could go out in this weather just wearing leather. I'd be like, look, it's the cold weather, all right? That's why. Plus, rolling around in mud, chances are I'd be like, they put some poop in there and stuff and clean that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that matters, does it? You know, it's all about the show, isn't it?
You could probably get away with it in Norfolk, I guess. Normal
people
for Norfolk.
People just be like, that's normal behaviour. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's Rob. Oh, my God. No, I talking news stories, there was a news story I heard probably about a year ago. It was set in a residential care home, and I think it was somewhere in China. And what it is that for the residents, so 70 plus years of age, they hired, I think, a stripper for them, and they came and gyrated all of them. They said that apparently it was like the best time that all they all had. Obviously, I imagine predominantly all men, but they all had like a really great time. But I think there was some repercussions there of like the people who organised and stuff, and you know the families were outraged and everything else. But it's like, well,
if you'd had a video camera there, you could have made some good TV.
Could have made some good TV. Also, you got to be careful on how, you know, if she was to do a dance and, you know, do a seated dance or something. I don't know if they sit on the laps and gyrate. Could have easily broken a pelvis or something.
The thing is, yeah, I mean, like, people always say, I don't know if you heard this from, like, people you know, but they say, well, when I get old and infirm, I'm going to go out and take all the drugs. I'm going to take heroin, crack cocaine, crystal meth, you know, because I'm old and I'm going to die soon. Don't give a monkey. It's going to be fine. I'm going to do all the things that I couldn't do when I was young because I had a job and kids and whatever. Now, I've heard that quite a lot from people, and it got me thinking, what if we had a TV show called Hospice Hedonism?
Where you just get all these people... before you say that, right, you said, like, before I get old and infirm.
Mm.
So, to correctly describe my body, I could say I was firm.
So, is infirm would be you're not firm anymore, you're a bit saggy, a bit of a...
Oh, Rantallian.
Rantallian, you're infirm, you're not firm, you're a Rantallian.
All right.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, mate.
You'd have to look up, so in terms of all these different drugs, you'd have to look up, because obviously at that age you're taking lots of life-extending drugs or
you're worried about interactions. I think the fact it's hospice hedonism is they're going to die soon anyway. They're in a hospice. Oh, right. So we can let them take all of these highly legal Class A drugs and see them have a party. I think that's the important part, is the entertainment comes from the dying people having a party. And, you know, like people watch Geordie Shore and The Only Wears Essex and all these, like, Love Island things.
Married at First Sight or something.
But they're watching it because they're sort of vicariously enjoying other people doing things that they want to do, you know, living the high life and shagging people and doing all this stuff in, like, glamorous locations. And it'd be similar. So people would watch it and think, okay, this is something that I've said I would do when I'm old and infirm. But I can watch old and infirm people doing it and go, ha ha, ha, look, I could be doing that. You know,
maybe this isn't such a good idea. You know, you might be. Well, no, in that sense.
Look at the terminal cancer patient, like, tripping balls. It'd be great, you know.
Well, the thing is, there was that thing, wasn't there, on Netflix, that series, How to Change Your Mind. And they were saying about magic mushrooms. There was a massive study shown on there that people who had terminal illnesses were given like this dose, and they were more not welcoming of death, but it wasn't kind of like scaring the bejesus out of them. It also helped cure people of alcoholism. You know,
the studies show that the brain lights up. So the way that the human brain works is you strengthen neural pathways to do certain things, but also to feel certain ways. So if you light everything up rather than just the pathways that you've strengthened, then there's a chance to almost do like a turn it off and on again, reset your brain. So it sort of makes sense that anything, I suppose, with terminal illness patients, you get thoroughly depressed about the fact that you're experiencing your mortality like every day.
Yeah.
And that's not going to make you feel...
And I guess you're surrounded by people you're surrounded by people who are dying as well, so that's going to make it like...
Yeah, exactly, if you're in a hospice.
That's where the
hospice hedonism comes in, doesn't it? You know, if you chuck loads of, like, crystal meth at them, they're going to have a great time.
Well, and people will enjoy watching it,
so we need to make this TV programme, don't we?
Well, there is that, I think, was it in somewhere in Scotland? I'm maybe thinking Glasgow, where they have approved a centre where people can go to take drugs.
Yes.
Right? So on that premise of, well, if these people are going, you know, instead of going all the way to Switzerland to, you know, the euthanasia centres, can't remember what they're called.
Dignitas.
That's it, Dignitas.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, do you know what? Instead of all that calmness and stuff like that, you might get people who, you know, perhaps, you know, when they were younger, they did enjoy a little bit of dabble here and there and all this stuff, and give them that one last opportunity to almost kind of...
to have a party.
Yeah, well, also at the same time, if you're, say, high as a kite, and that's eventually what kills you, then at the same time, it's almost like you wouldn't necessarily know, as opposed to being on your deathbed and being doped up with morphine and...
Yeah, we can do... Yeah, it's just doing it with different drugs. I mean, you could have your crack cocaine and your crystal meth, and then they can slip the phenobarbital in when you're not noticing, and it's...
The what?
Thank you again. Phenobarbital.
Yeah,
that's what they use in Dignitas to kill.
So what does that do to the body then? Just stops the heart beating then, or what?
Oh, I don't know.
Phenobarbitus.
Phenobarbital.
Oh.
I think they should... Make sure I'm not wrong.
They should... Yeah, so... That's right. I don't think people are listening to this as an informative kind of thing.
I said one person. I think I said Alexander Graham Bell invented something or other. Anyway, I got something wrong with inventor.
And
one of our loyal listeners pointed out to me
tennis
that I was an idiot.
Whilst you're doing that, I was thinking about inventions, and something I'd like to invent. It's not an app or anything else like that. But what I thought about is that, you know, you get like noise cancelling headphones, to have something like a noise cancelling bed. Not that it stops the noise being all creaky and all that stuff, but you can lay in the bed. And it's almost like if you looked at it sideways on, it'd be like a squished O. And so you have your bed at the bottom, and then you've got this kind of dome that goes. The sides are still open, but you can have a TV. So then you can actually lay and watch the TV above you. You can make calls. You can do all sorts of smart TV-esque type shit. But you could also have like noise cancelling. So you could be in a really highly populated area, could be in a tower block, you could have really noisy neighbours and stuff like that, because the main thing is like sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. And so you could have this thing that you go in, press a button, and you're in a cocoon, and that's like, shht, and you are, it's quiet. And I think that would
be... That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, well, of course it is.
This podcast is not a place for real good ideas, Rob.
Oh, you shit, know, come all right. On. I'll stop there. What drugs do they use to kill people?
Phenobarbital.
Phenobarbital.
Oh. So I was right. I've only got like on the Google. I've only got dog euthanasia, but that'll do. We use phenobarbital as a euthanasia drug, seizure medication. In a large dose through an intravenous catheter administration, the dog will render the dog. I can't read properly. The drug. Will
I don't
render
want a dog injecting it. I'd be like, you've done it all wrong now.
The drug will render the pet unconscious and will shut down heart and brain functions within 1 or 2 minutes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they use in Dignitas as well, but I might have to Google it. It is phenobarbital. I'm right! I love being right! Yes! Right,
phenobarbital. I think they'd come up with a different name, like
I'm not right, actually.
Hmm?
Give me a metaphorical slap. It's pentobarbital, is the drug from Dickens.
Oh, the other one's for dogs, is it? So yeah. They inject that to you, end up like just like sniffing the crotch of someone and taking a shit in the corner.
And then dying.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
that sounds like one of my fetishes. But speaking of fetishes, Rob.
All right.
Do you know what a paraphilia is?
Paraphilia?
Yes.
Somebody who collects lots of like paraphernalia.
Drug paraphernalia. A paraphilia. So paraphilias are persistent and recurrent sexual interests, urges, fantasies or behaviours involving objects, activities or even situations that are atypical in nature.
Why did you bring this up? What do you know?
I'm going to name a paraphilia. This is our quiz, sorry, by the way. I'll just segue so...
Are you not trying to embarrass me by telling people what
your paraphilias are?
What got wrong with me?
No, I'm going to quiz you on paraphilias.
All right.
I'm going to name a paraphilia, and you need to guess the focus of erotic interest. It's multiple choice, and the forfeit for guessing a question wrong...
I've got to take one of these up, have I?
Yeah, well, that's... Closing the barn door after the horse is bolted. But, the forfeit is you have to recite some heavy metal lyrics, but in the voice of a self-involved poet. The paraphilia is called omurashi.
Omurashi?
Omurashi. I'm guessing that's...
something to do with itching.
I'm guessing that's something from Japan. I may be wrong.
Maybe.
Okay, is omurashi biting or being bitten? Is it being in a life-threatening situation? Or is it wetting oneself? So which of those things will turn on someone who has or is interested in omurashi?
I think it's about biting or bitten, because it's like, om, 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 om.
Om, 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 omurashi.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, so that makes sense to me.
Well, Rob, you're wrong. It is wetting oneself or having a full bladder, or someone else wetting themselves or having a full bladder and watching them do it. So you're reciting "Love Me Like a Reptile" by Motorhead.
In the like somebody who's a poet, right?
Yes.
Okay, "Love Me Like a Reptile." Knew I had to bite you, baby, when I first lays eyes on you. That moment turned me on. I can't believe it's true. And I like to watch your body sway. I've got no choice. I'm gonna twist your tail. Love me like a reptile. Love me like a reptile. I'm gonna sink my fangs in you.
That's beautiful, Rob. I got a tear in my eye. It's a bit like,
there you go. I could release this as an album, like Roger Waters did for Dark Side of the Moon.
That's more William Shatner. But no, there wasn't a lot of energy in it. You know.
Oh, I didn't. Well, all right. Next one, I'll get a little bit more spunk in it.
Okay. What is, so the paraphilia is called peakerism.
Peakerism. I reckon it's like looking at someone.
Yeah. So what is the focus of erotic interest? Is it piercing the flesh? Is it obscene words? Or is it poetry?
I'm going to go with poetry.
You're wrong. It's piercing the flesh.
Oof.
Peakerism.
Peakerism, there we go.
In a fit of peakerism. Eat Me Alive by Judas Priest now.
All right, so a bit more gusto.
Yeah.
All right. Eat Me Alive, Judas Priest. Wrap tight around me like a second flesh hot skin. Cling to my body as the ecstasy begins. Your wild vibrations got me shooting from the hip. Crazed and insatiable, let rip. And eat me alive, eat me alive. Sounds like an animal panting to the beat. Groaning the pleasure zone and gasping from the heat. Gut-wrenching frenzy that deranges every joint. I'm going to force you at gunpoint.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Album's going to be released on Spotify of all these. All right, next. Come on,
next.
Then. I'm right, doing next. Spectacularly well on this.
You're not doing well. All right, next is klismophilia. With a K, klismophilia.
Klismophilia, all right.
Is it giving or receiving an enema? Is it amputees? Or is it C, overweight people?
I think it's to do with the enema.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well,
I've got to do one now. From Here to Eternity by Iron Maiden.
Okay.
She fell in love with his greasy machine. She leaned over, wiped his kickstart clean. She'd never seen the beast before, but she left there wanting more, more, more. But when was she walking on down the road? I said that wrong. But when she was walking on down the road, she heard a sound that made her heart explode. He whispered to her to get on the back. I'll take you on a ride from here to eternity.
I was going to say hell and back, but yeah, that eternity bit at the end threw me.
Yeah.
I like rhyming couplets though, you know. I've got to give it limericks, you know. I'm a,
it's
I'm
not
a
got
simpleton.
The right meter for you, yeah.
No, simple.
So there, that's I made some terrible lyrics in that time.
Yeah.
They also did some very good ones. Right, so let's move on to the next one.
How many more have I got of these?
There's only five questions.
Only five questions. This is the last one.
Away.
Is it?
This no. Number four.
Number four.
What is? So the paraphilia is called eproctophilia.
So, sounds like a disease.
It does, doesn't it? Is it breastfeeding? Is it decaying things? Or is it farts?
I reckon it's decaying things.
Eproctophilia is getting sexually aroused by farts. So the procto relates to the last part of the bowel.
All right, okay.
I'm going to give you actually one which the lyrics aren't terrible on.
Okay, well, yeah.
You know, it's not all terrible. This is Symptom of the Universe by Black Sabbath.
Sorry, Symptom of the Universe. Take me through the centuries to supersonic years. Electrifying enemy is drowning in his tears. All I have to give you is a love that never dies. The symptom of the universe is written in your eyes. Mother Moon, she's calling me back to her silver womb. Father of creation takes me from my stolen tomb. 700th unicorn is waiting in the skies. A symptom of the universe. A love that never dies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It sounded like something that the guy would say at the beginning, at the end of Thriller.
Mm. I'm a bit puzzled about the other 699 unicorns.
Yeah, well...
Why the 700th unicorn? That's very strange.
Well, the thing is, I thought they were rare. If there's 700th of them, 700 of them. 700th? If there's 700th of them, then they can't be that all rare, can they?
Number five.
Fumph. Right, yeah.
This is the last one.
Okay.
So the paraphilia in question is called dendrophilia.
Dendrophilia.
So is it an erotic interest in firearms, trees, or being crawled upon by insects?
I am thinking crawled upon by insects.
Oh, you're wrong again. I love it.
Oh, my God.
In a nice circle from the start of the episode, it's trees. So if you're a dendrophiliac, you're not just a tree hugger, you're a tree shagger.
Bloody hell. Got word?
Well, this is Calling a Doctor Love by Kiss.
Okay. You need my love, baby. Oh, so bad. You're not the only one I've ever had. And if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery? They call me Doctor Love. I've got the cure you're thinking of. And even though I'm full of sin, in the end, you'll let me in. You'll let me through, there's nothing you can do. You need my lovin', don't you know it's true? So if you please, get on your knees. There are no bills, there are no fees. Baby, what's your problem is, the first step of the cure is a kiss.
Well done, Rob. I don't know if that was much of a forfeit, because you seem to enjoy it.
Well, you know what? I am tempted to go and revisit these songs on... Do we know what we're doing in the next show?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, the intrigue is there for you listeners.